I don't fear death. Ba 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 ba.
MZTV.
I don't fear death. You don't fear death. I think what we fear is dying. We fear the process, which can be scary, can be painful. And yet there's the anticipation. Oh my gosh, I just remembered a text that I got. It was either a text or it was a comment on one of my videos. One of our brothers said, I've just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I'm so excited, unquote. Sir, God bless you. You are a man after my own heart. You have such a longing, such a desire to see Christ that you can face death and not only not fear it, but see it as an end of your earthly sufferings, but more importantly, to your next conscious moment, the beginning of your glory with God and Christ. I love that perspective. Let me quote the man again. Martin, I've just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I'm so excited. Quote, unquote. That's the... Oh, man. I mean, my sympathies, in one sense, of course. In another sense, you lucky bastard. Yeah, in another sense, it's actually how I feel. Whew, God, is life that bad for me? No, it's not. It's not that. It's just that the coming eon is such a reality. I've been talking about this thing for so long. I've studied about it so much. And I know my God and my Christ to such a degree that I have no doubt that this thing is coming. And I want it. I want it more than anything. And it is an exciting thought. And this actually sustains me. You know how some people say they fantasize about how they will kill themselves. And they think about the details. When they're going through depression or they're having a tough time in life, it comforts them to know that really you don't have to endure what you're going through. I'm not recommending anybody commit suicide, please. But you can get out of it at any time. Ricky Gervais had a great series on Netflix. It was called Afterlife. I recommend it. I mean, the guy's an atheist, but forget that for the moment. There was just one line there. It really wasn't a line. It was a theory he had. And it wasn't really a theory. It was his life's reality. He was going through a terrible time because his wife had just died. And he would comfort himself by telling himself that he could end his pain at any time. And I think even for some of us, it helps to think that there's an exit ramp. If we wanted it. It doesn't mean we're going to do it. In fact, none of us would really ever do it. I would never do it. I've asked God to do it, but I would never do it. I would never do myself in. I amuse myself too much. But the comforting thought to me is not that I could get on the escape ramp of suicide to leave Eon 3, but that death at any time could come. When I'm on I-95, either going south or north, I call I-95 the ribbon of death. It's carnage. You hardly go down at any time. You hardly go up or down I-95 here in South Florida without seeing a car overturned, a car on fire, always an accident, ambulances, helicopters. It's carnage. And death could take any one of us at any time. That actually comforts me. I don't like the idea of dying. Don't get me wrong. But hell, I'm dying now, just not so dramatically. I'm mortal, and so are you. And so every day, we're dying, and we don't like it. So I sure would not like it if I was in an exaggerated dying state. Instant death would be great. That's why I talked about being at ground zero. That's why I said I would run or ride my bike or drive my car to ground zero if I knew a nuclear warhead was heading for Fort Lauderdale at the corner of Las Olas Boulevard and 3rd Avenue, and I would stand there and wait for it. It's like, yes, I'm so close to Jesus, so close to Jesus. I know that death doesn't take me to Jesus. I know that. But to my consciousness, death takes me to Jesus. To my consciousness, it's like here comes the warhead. Bang, you're out. Instant death, vaporized. And the next thing you know, there's Jesus. And there's Paul rising up. There's Tryphena. There's Tryphosa. There's my friend Charlie. All the saints who have died in Christ. Oh, yeah. And it's the beginning of the good times. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. So in the meantime, we're digging these things out because our expectation gets more and more real every time we dig. You love me to talk about this topic. One of my fellow believers, our fellow believer, Laura Johnston, sent me an article by a guy named Donald Hader, writing on the snatching away, and she says, I just love any kind of angle, any kind of new angle, not new truth, but new way of looking at things that makes this thing real to me. And Hader was talking about how the dead in Christ will be organized. I talked in a video last week about there would be maybe some sort of holding area. The dead in Christ will rise. They'll be in some sort of holding area, like the cell phone lot at the airport, and then they will be waiting for they will be waiting then for us to be snatched away, and then we will. No, they will be waiting for us to be made immortal, and then we shall all at the same time be snatched away to meet the Lord in the air. Yeah, that's it. And anything that makes it more real. And like I said, I've been doing this for so long, talking about this for so long, and it makes it more real. So this thing is going to happen, and I absolutely love it. And so when I see the political world shaping up as it is, when I look at the course of history, that's the thing. Daniel chapter 12, in the end, knowledge will increase. And oh my God, I've said this many, many times, but if you can't look at the scale, the increments of progress in world history since the time of Adam, the fact that from Adam until 1875, people are riding horses. Flatline, pretty much flatline, until the Industrial Revolution, probably, the late 1700s. But then since that time, from that time until 1959, you see a big leap in progress, in information, in knowledge, in technology, in the speed of life, the complexity of life. But from 1959 on, it is an exponential rise of all these categories. Everything, boom, 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 boom. And if you look at that chart, to me, that is the number one sign that we are in the end times. And as John says in Revelation 1:1, the Holy Spirit gave him things, Jesus Christ himself told him of things that would happen swiftly. Some of you are a little impatient, like, when's this going to happen? Things are going not fast enough for me. Folks, when it really starts in earnest, and I don't think I really finished my thought on the star formation of September 23rd, 2017. I didn't think that would be the snatching away. Again, I thought it could be, but it was a signpost. It's like you see a sign on I-95, speaking of the ribbon of death, says Fort Lauderdale, 15 miles. It was a signpost, that celestial sign of Revelation chapter 12, that we're, that now it's starting in earnest. And since then, things have gone absolutely nuts. Worldwide, not just pockets in the world. There have always been pockets of tyrants. But now we're looking at global tyrants. We're looking at tyrants who have the power, have the money, have the influence to work their will upon the people, if the people let them. And the people are letting them. But there has been one man standing in the way of the totalitarian onslaught. And that man has orange-tinted hair. And his initials are DJT. And nobody will be able to convince me that this man is part of the cabal of totalitarians. No, nobody can convince me of that. Like, he would be the most subtle double agent there could ever be. No. Look at a man's enemies. Look at the man's enemies. Look at the lengths to which they will go to make sure this guy does not come back on the world stage. But I believe, and could I be wrong? Hell no. I believe this guy's coming back. And did he make mistakes when he came the first time? Oh, God, sickening mistakes. Mistakes that really pissed me off. He should have thrown out every single person from the previous administration. But the guy, if you can believe this, was so naive that he thought he could work together with the opposition. Cross the aisle. Hands across the waters, hands across the sky. I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Now, are you kidding me? Work with the other side? No. Dude, you should have fired every single person from the previous administration, but you didn't. And so you had rats in the camp. And that was your undoing. And then because of political expedience, you gave the microphone to a fake physician. Trying to be very careful here. You gave the microphone every day to a little rat with white hair who shut down the world. You made this rat, this yellow-toothed demon, you made this guy the president of the world. No, the king of the world. And you sat back there with your arms folded. Oh, I hated that. I couldn't believe that the man was letting this other man do that. The yellow tooth demon. I couldn't believe it. And then, you know what happened next. The man of whom we are speaking, with orange tinted hair, put on the fast track. Got to be really careful here. Let's just say, attempted to produce a worldwide prophylactic, a worldwide preventative for a worldwide problem. And wanted to be such a hero that he greased the skids of production and said, I've produced 10 million, blah, 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 blah. And that was absolutely horrible. Now, the big question is, did this man learn anything? The video I'm about to show you, I looked at the comments there, and people are just like, oh, yeah, all talk. Just like the first time, all talk. Just like the first time, but you got rolled. You kept all the evil people on. You gave an evil person the microphone every day. You let another person that was not elected by any of us rule the world, basically. Little rat. Why'd you do that? Yeah, I'm with you there. I hated it. And a lot of people think that man didn't learn anything. Oh, yes, he did. This dude is so primed now. There's not one other human being I can think of that could have sustained the barrage of hate and the actual enacting of evil plans to ruin his life. I can't think of any other human being that could come out of, that could survive it and still be standing. The fact that this man is still standing is a miracle akin to the survival of Israel. This is a miracle akin to God's people still being a people and having their own nation. That this man survived the withering abuses hurled at him from the most powerful people and the most powerful organizations on the face of the planet. And is still possibly even more so as popular as ever. Okay, I've teased you long enough. It's a 1 minute video sent to me by Eric in Virginia. I'll comment on it as soon as it's over and I'll take you to the unveiling, chapter 17. Here it is.
And if you put me back in the White House, their reign is over. Their reign will be over. And they know it. And America will be a free nation once again. We're not a free nation right now. We don't have free press. We don't have free anything. In 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let it happen. I will totally obliterate the deep state. I will fire.
Folks, to me, that is electrifying. I'm rallied. It's like, yes, it stirs something in me. Like, I want this to happen. But Martin, you say he's going to be the Antichrist. Even better. Even better. We have the best of both worlds. We have somebody who can turn the tide of evil and lawlessness and bring practical help to the world, both in the realms of foreign policy, realms of finance. The guy's a businessman, the first businessman that we ever elected because we wanted a businessman, not a politician. And yes, the guy became a politician, but it was an expedient. He almost had to. He had to play the game a little bit. He went overboard. He still thinks that the juice is great. He still thinks that the juice is saving millions of lives. That's BS. In fact, it's doing the opposite. And that pissed me off. So whether he comes to his senses on that or not, I don't know. But listen to those words. Listen to the people behind him. I'm watching. I'm going, yeah, yeah. I love it. Interesting passage in the unveiling, chapter 17. I'm going there now. John says, verse 6. And I perceive the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And I marvel at perceiving her. The marvel is great. And the messenger said to me, wherefore do you marvel? I shall be declaring to you the secret of the woman and of the wild beast which is bearing her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The wild beast, verse 8, Revelation 17, the wild beast which you perceived was and is not and is about to be ascending out of the submerged chaos. Interesting wording there. Was, is not, and is about to be. But what's this ascending out of the submerged chaos and to be going away into destruction? The second time this individual shows up, that is when he will be inhabited by a demonic being that apparently comes up from the submerged chaos. And marvel shall those dwelling on the earth whose names are not written on the scroll of life from the disruption of the world, because they'll be the Christian types who will see a resurrection when the man of lawlessness is apparently wounded unto death and recovers from it, comes back to life. Basically, they will marvel, those whose names are not written in the book of life, because they're emotional, they're soulish, they're Pentecostal, they're Christian, they look for miracles, they do not have the Spirit of God within them, and so they fall for the deception. And I will admit to you, the deception is great. And marvel shall those dwelling on the earth, whose names are not written on the scroll of life from the disruption of the world, when they observe the wild beast, seeing that it was and is not and will be present. DJT was, and for the last 4 years, is not and will be present. Interesting wording, don't you think? Verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains where the woman is sitting on them, and they are seven kings. Five fall, one is. The other came not as yet, and whenever he may be coming, he must remain briefly. And the wild beast which was and is not, it also is the eighth, and is from among the seven, and is going away unto destruction. This is the man of lawlessness. And the ten horns which you perceived are ten kings who obtained no kingdom as yet, but are obtaining authority as kings 1 hour with the wild beast. 1 hour. Is that literal? In this case, literal if possible. 60 minutes of power? No, I don't believe this is literal in this case. I think the hour is, it is a short time. 1 hour, when you speak of the vast vat of time, is a short period of time. I believe the rule of the man of lawlessness will be brief compared to the Aeonian times, relative to the Aeonian times. And it will be a two-phased operation. It will be the white horse rider who deceives the world, and even we will cheer on. But then, following a fatal blow, rises from the dead, is no longer the person that went into the grave, assuming that DJT is the man of lawlessness. It will look like DJT. It will have the hair of DJT. It will eat McDonald's for lunch like DJT, but it will not be DJT. It will be the beast. It will be a big, bad demon. An Elohim, even, that will inhabit the man, possess the man, just as Satan possessed Judas. Do I think this is going to happen? Hell yeah.